Reports coming this morning that the Syrian government is lashing out in retaliation for yesterday's bombing attack that killed three members of President Bashar al-Assad's inner circle. Joining us now from Beirut, Babak Dagampasha, correspondent for The Washington Post. And I have so many questions for you, Babak, because we're getting a lot of conflicting reports. But let's deal now with the retaliation attacks that we're told have intensified in the neighborhoods around Damascus. Is that the case?
Absolutely, yes. We're hearing reports of sort of harsh attacks being carried out by the Syrian military in the neighborhoods of Qaboon and the neighborhoods of Maidan, which have been neighborhoods where the heavy fighting has taken place in the past 3 or 4 days. What we're hearing today, this morning, from Damascus residents is that there's a lot of shelling from the government, there's street clashes taking place, and also that government snipers are spreading out across rooftops and even taking pot shots at civilians.
And we are hearing reports that even more people from Bashar al-Assad's, not only his advisory circle, but from the military as well, are defecting. What have you heard on that?
Definitely, yes. Pretty much right after the reports of the bombing yesterday, immediately there were reports of defections. Some of them, have been confirmed to some extent by opposition groups. These were pretty much soldiers of lower ranks, not senior defections, but there are reports of, sort of rank-and-file soldiers in the countryside, people who you got the impression were really being pressured by higher-level commanders to fight, that they were abandoning their posts in large numbers, even dozens of people we've heard had been abandoning their stations in places like Idlib and so on. So, yes, I think this defection issue is definitely something to watch.
What is your sense? You know, we're getting all of these analysts who are saying, is this the turning point in the war? Is this the beginning of the end for the Assad regime? At the same time that others are saying the Assad regime will now dig in its heels. But what's your sense of the people of Syria who are looking on? Do they have a feeling like a decisive battle has been won?
Well, I think there's no denying that that this is a turning point. From the perspective of the Syrian people themselves, I think they're just as confused as anybody. There's a lot of rumors flying around. There's not a lot of hard information that they have access to. But certainly, what we can look at is that these people who were killed, they were very senior people within the regime, really the heart of the sort of security establishment for the rebels to be able to access them and to carry out this attack. If nothing else, is a significant psychological blow. It's been a big morale booster for the rebels. I think on that front, you'll probably see a lot more, pushing ahead and fighting from the rebels. But does that mean that, the regime of Assad is finished and they're really on their last legs? That's hard to say. I mean, Assad has really solidified his grip on power in the past 16 months by killing a lot of people. You know, the most conservative estimates are that about 14,000 people have been killed so far. So, that option, really sort of resorting to extreme violence, is still a worrying choice, I think, for the president.
And yet equally worrying is this idea that it must have been somebody from that inner circle. If someone planted a bomb in that particular location, not too far away from the U.S. embassy, the very center of power in Damascus, it must have been someone who was trusted. They have to be looking at each other and wondering who they can trust.
That's what the rebels claim, yes. The most credible claim to this attack yesterday was the Free Syrian Army. Commanders that some of my colleagues were able to reach and talk to said that essentially they had an insider who had planted the explosives inside this meeting room, which would imply that, this person was at least of some rank or some person who was trusted who had betrayed them. So certainly, these senior regime people are going to be looking over their shoulders, not knowing who to trust, and, it must be a very sort of suspicious and, odd interaction between these guys at the top at the moment.
That's Babak Dagampasha, correspondent for The Washington Post, speaking to us from Beirut. Also with us now is Sohrab al-Jajakli, co-founder of the National Alliance for Syria and is active in the Syrian opposition. Sohrab, your response to Babak's characterization there that there is this odd interaction now going on between the Syrian government. Is this an opportunity at this point for the opposition?
This is, first of all, thank you for having me. This is a huge opportunity for the opposition and a major blow to the regime, as we've seen over the last 24 hours. A few days ago, as you know, the opposition has announced that they are conducting operations to liberate Damascus. And we have seen them not only attack the heartbeat, the nerve center of the regime with the targeted assassination yesterday, but also hit on points all over Damascus, really throwing in a blow towards any confidence in the regime's ability to control not only the country, but also the capital city.
I wonder what you think, what your response is to the many concerns about what may happen should the regime fall. Obviously, there are concerns about what could happen to the stockpile of chemical weapons, but many people say the opposition is really in disarray. It's not prepared to run the country at this point, and things could be really, really intensely chaotic should the regime fall.
The country has been in chaos for the last 16 months. So it's important to note that wherever there has been any resistance to the regime, we have seen the regime hit with utter brutality, massacres, ethnic cleansing of sort. So one thing to note in terms of the day after is that for the last 16, 17 months, the opposition has been preparing for this moment. And at this current moment, large areas of the nation are under opposition control, specifically in areas in the north like Idlib. There is no presence of any Assad regime military in those areas. And everything is being run local up. And that's what's made this revolution succeed to this point, is that it is a grassroots popular uprising from the ground up.
I mean, what is there a possibility that there could still be a diplomatic solution at this point, since the Assad regime, as you describe them, is in disarray? This has been a serious blow to the inner circle there. Could it be that this will force them to agree to Kofi Annan's plan, to the UN's plan, and call a ceasefire?
Well, all these diplomatic efforts are largely irrelevant, and even protesters on the ground in Syria over the last few weeks have condemned the Annan plan at best to be a tool to buy more time for the Russians to prop up Assad. So the current diplomatic efforts give the Annan plan and the observer mission no teeth to actually conduct any sort of operations on the ground that would impact a ceasefire and therefore are irrelevant to the outcomes of what happens in Syria. I think months ago, Syrians learned that whatever happens in Syria, in terms of freedom, in terms of overthrowing the regime, will come directly from the ground up, from Syrians themselves, who will have to overthrow this mafia regime in power.
Sarab al-Jajakli, co-founder of the National Alliance for Syria. As always, thanks so much, Sarab.
Thank you for having me.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.